Good evening. For WBAI News in New York, I'm Linda Perry with some of the news for Monday, July 11th, 2016. Democratic presidential hopeful Hillary Clinton will meet with Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders in New Hampshire tomorrow at a joint news conference. Sanders is expected to endorse Clinton, even though there is contention over the Democratic platform yet to be voted on, which does not come out against the TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership. But there have been big wins for the Sanders camp. An amendment which calls for a raise in the federal minimum wage to $15 an hour. This will benefit 62 million workers who earn less than $15. And there's a big win for environmental justice, Josh Fox.
Listen to me, people. I've been fighting side by side with communities all across this country, and we have achieved an incredible moment of unity here tonight on a comprehensive amendment to address frack gas power plants, to address keep it in the ground, to address the Keystone XL standard for the federal government as a climate test. We're going to read it. It is extraordinary. When we worked this out, thanks to Bill McKibben, Jane Kleb, Ben Jealous, myself, and the extraordinary leadership of Bernie Sanders, when this happened, I broke down in tears. It's hard for me to not do that right this moment. This is an unbelievable thing. I would like you to read it. Can you read it?
Please read the amendment.
Page 19, line 18, insert the following. Democrats believe that carbon dioxide, methane, and other greenhouse gases should be priced to reflect their negative externalities and to accelerate the transition to a clean energy economy and help meet our climate goals. Democrats believe that climate change is too important to wait for climate deniers and defeatists in Congress to start listening to science and support using every tool available to reduce emissions now. On page 19, line 26, insert the following. We will streamline federal permitting to accelerate the construction of new transmission lines to get low-cost renewable energy to market and incentivize wind, solar, and other renewable energy over the development of new natural gas power plants. We support President Obama's decision to reject the Keystone XL pipeline. As we continue working to reduce carbon dioxide, methane, and other greenhouse gas emissions, we must ensure federal actions don't significantly exacerbate global warming. We support a comprehensive approach that ensures all federal decisions going forward contribute to solving, not significantly exacerbating, climate change. Democrats believe that our commitment to meeting the climate challenge must also be reflected in the infrastructure investments we make. We need to make our existing infrastructure safer and cleaner and build the new infrastructure necessary to power our clean energy future. To create good-paying middle-class jobs that can't be outsourced, Democrats support high labor standards in clean energy infrastructure and the right to form or join a union, whether in renewable power or advanced vehicle manufacturing. During the clean energy transition, we will ensure landowners, communities of color, and tribal nations are at the table.
1 minute, 1 minute. Fox says this is what happens when you organize. Climate justice communities are now at the table. The Democratic platform will be voted on at the Democratic convention later this month. Meanwhile, the CWA, the Communication Workers of America, which had endorsed Bernie Sanders, is now endorsing Hillary Clinton. The union represents 700,000 telecommunication and technology members. More than 2,000 students, alumni, and faculty at the University of Pennsylvania's Wharton School have signed an open letter to Donald Trump. It says they disagree with his rhetoric and policies. The Republican presidential candidate graduated from Wharton in 1968. He has frequently touted his Ivy League education during the campaign. The letter entitled "You Do Not Represent Us" says the signers are deeply disappointed in his candidacy. Following Brexit, Britain's exit from the European Union, and turmoil in the country, Prime Minister David Cameron announced today that he will step down on Wednesday. 59-year-old Theresa May will succeed him as Conservative leader and Prime Minister. She said Brexit means Brexit and that she will make a success of it. May has been Britain's Home Secretary for 6 years and will become the country's second female Prime Minister. Meanwhile, Labour legislators continue to try to unseat Labour Party leader Jeremy Corbyn. Many in his top team have resigned, but he is refusing to resign. In other news, black leaders met in Harlem today in the aftermath of recent shootings of people of color by police. On July 5th in Louisiana, Alton Sterling, who was selling CDs near a convenience store, was pinned down by two Baton Rouge police officers, Blaine Salamone and Howie Lake II. Then he was shot and killed. The tears of his 15-year-old son spoke to our hearts. No attempt to save him was made. The two officers had four previous use of force complaints against them, but were still on the police force in Baton Rouge. The Justice Department is investigating. The takedown and gruesome shooting by police was captured on cell phone video and widely seen. Then there was Philandro Castile in St. Paul, Minnesota. The 32-year-old Montessori cafeteria supervisor was shot and killed during a traffic stop by police on Wednesday. His fiancée, Diamond Lavish Reynolds, with her 4-year-old daughter in the car, calmly recorded on Facebook Live. She says, "Please, officer, don't tell me that you just did this to him. You shot 4 bullets into him, sir. He was just getting his license and registration, sir." The Reverend Jesse Jackson with the Rainbow Push Coalition met with Diamond Reynolds over the weekend. He paid tribute to her and her courage. She said when she posted the video, it wasn't to get recognition for herself.
"It was so my voice could be heard for the justice of my boyfriend. I was nobody before all you guys saw me on the internet. I was a regular person working 2 part-time jobs trying to maintain a stable lifestyle for myself and my family. My boyfriend, he was my fiance, soon-to-be husband. He was everything to me. I didn't grow up with a father. My daughter's father is not present in her life. He was our role model. He was our protector. He was our provider. He was everything to us and more that we have never had. He had plenty opportunities. He had people that loved him in this community from here all the way to Minneapolis. But none of those people understand the love that I have for that man. He had places to go and he chose to struggle with me and my daughter. He's been at his job for 15 years and he never once stopped working to make sure that he took care of not only his mother, his sister, himself, my child that is not his own, but also me. And as he lays peacefully, I told him as I viewed him that I would get justice for him."
Diamond Reynolds, Philandro Castile's fiance. Castile was murdered in a traffic stop on Wednesday in Baton Rouge. Reverend Jacques DeGroff, chair of 100 Black Men, convened an emergency summit today in Harlem. The aim to address solutions to gun violence and the police shootings. He spoke to the heart of what the causes are of protests around the country and here in New York.
Protests are rooted in 2 things. We are seeking justice and we're seeking to dry our tears. I don't think the media has quite captured the depth of the impact of watching that young man cry, Alton Sterling's son cry. Whether he was your nephew or your brother, your grandson, or your friend down the block, there was something about his tears that touched us. And then there was something about Diamond's heroism, and she's an American hero, to, with a gun to her head and his blood-soaked body at her side, she kept on talking. She kept on reporting out what was happening. And it brought us back to mind as a community about what happened with Emmett Till. They wanted to shut Emmett Till in a box and put him away, but Emmett Till's mother said, I want them to see what they've done to my boy. And then Jet Magazine put it on the front page. And so it changed America. And so we are in a moment where America needs to change again. Mm. It's born out of our pain. Where are the protests going? I don't know, because the response, the answer is, what will America respond to the protest? If it's just a body count, how many people got arrested today? Who got injured today? Mm. Then they're going to be going on a mighty long time. But at some point, we believe and we're committed to the conscience of America and the soul of America. Mm. When we said, my country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing, that's what we believe. And so we are committed to that ethos and those values and that heritage, and we're going to keep marching, we're going to keep protesting, we're going to keep convening until justice is won.
Diallo Shabazz is executive director of 100 Black Men.
And as we honor that heritage in the 21st century, at a moment when a new satellite was just sent out to explore Jupiter and the origins of the solar system, we have to acknowledge that the current protests that are going on are a part of a reflex action that we have for civil action and civil disobedience. As a community and as a nation, and particularly in the Black community, we need to create new types of responses and new types of solutions to these problems. Protests and rallies and sit-ins and die-ins that we have been participating in for decades and centuries have only brought us so far. And as a part of this coalition, I think that one of the things we want to come up with is, how can some of the programs and campaigns and initiatives that we are individually engaged in as organizations can collaboratively come together to create a new kind of strategy to move us forward? Many of us in the community don't want to protest anymore. We don't want to march anymore, because we know that that's a part of the same play, the same script, that anytime one of us is struck down, that we march. And so we really need a new kind of conversation and a new kind of proactive solution to the problems we're facing in our community.
What one of the words that came up in our family discussion was resistance. Mm-hmm. We often come as supplicants, but we represent a $1 trillion economy. Mm-hmm. African Americans spent $1 trillion last year. They will spend $1 trillion this year, and we're going to spend $1 trillion or more next year. But we're not going to continue to beg those we spend our money with to stand idly by when we are victims of injustice. We are pursuing new courses, as Diallo has outlined. We're pursuing new strategies, and they all won't be revealed in a press conference. We're using new technologies to impact old demons, but we intend to change America, and we intend to change it now.
And then there's the shooting of Delron Small video released this weekend shows that an off-duty NYPD officer, Isaacs, shot Small dead in a traffic dispute. Family lawyer Roger Wareham says the officer should have been arrested. New York State Attorney General Eric Schneiderman is investigating. DeGraff says while the Black community respects police officers, we need them to show respect for our people.
When folks break the law, we expect the police to enforce the law constitutionally. The incidents in Brooklyn, we ought not let color distort the reality. We still seek justice for Delron and his family. We don't judge all police officers by the reaction that he received.
What's important to 100 Black Men and other community members who gathered for the summit in Harlem on Monday is to break through the wall of silence, the blue wall of silence, as well as silence in communities where members know about violence.
In too many instances, there have been documented evidence that police have filed false reports substantiating a claim of police brutality. There has been no consequence that we know of to many of those officers. We need to look at that and examine it. We need to address a culture of silence. When we talk about the culture of silence in our community, but we also need to adjust the culture of silence that makes the good apples be silent. You know, we keep hearing about the good apples. We see the good apples, but then something happens and the good apples seem to disappear. We want to reinforce and reaffirm and protect the good apples.
This evening, Brooklyn Borough President Eric Adams, with police officers, interfaith leaders, and community members, will hold a candlelight vigil. That's at Grand Army Plaza at 7 p.m. this evening. And you're listening to the news on WBAI in New York.
I ain't gonna study war no more.
What?
study.
This weekend, peace activists came together in Times Square outside the Army Recruitment Center to denounce aggressive actions announced at the annual NATO summit. The activists say when you surround someone's house, that's offensive, not defensive. And that's what peace activists say the NATO, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, is doing by surrounding Russia.
First, we're strengthening NATO's defense and deterrence posture, building on our European Reassurance Initiative, which has already increased readiness from the Baltics to the Black Sea. Our alliance will enhance our forward presence on our eastern flank.
President Barack Obama in Poland at the NATO summit this weekend announced placements of new battalions in the area.
The United States will be the lead nation here in Poland, deploying a battalion of American soldiers. The United Kingdom will take the lead in Estonia, Germany and Lithuania, and Canada and Latvia. This will mean some 4,000 additional NATO troops on a rotational basis in this region. NATO is increasing our support to Ukraine. At our meeting of the NATO-Ukraine Commission, we agreed on a new assistance package to improve alliance support for Ukrainian forces.
This doesn't sit well with peace activists who say NATO's actions surrounding Russia and China are provocative, looking for a fight. Joe Lombardo is with the United National Anti-War Coalition.
NATO is an organization which is threatening Russia right now, which is not a small country like Iraq or Afghanistan. It's a nuclear power. Therefore, it threatens war and nuclear war for the whole world. And it's something that everybody has to be very interested in. There was terrible war games going on right on the Russian border. We're going to put four new divisions and up our funds to NATO by fourfold. This is a very big danger for all the world, and we have to start talking out against it.
Code Pink's Alice Slater.
We have to be more cognizant that Russia lost 27 million people, that we promised them when the war came down that we're not going to expand NATO.
And now NATO is on the Russian border. The NATO alliance says Russia is the aggressor taking over Crimea, but activists say we're on Russia's border. They're not on our border. Gorbachev, who was Soviet president during the Cold War, said all the rhetoric in Warsaw just yells of a desire almost to declare war on Russia. They only talk about defense, but actually are preparing for offensive operations. Raymond Nat Turner is with the Black Agenda Report.
I'm concerned with all the provocations that are going on in general at the behest of the United States and instigation of the U.S. And it puts us in a very perilous situation. And I think we all should be concerned, among other things, that the United States is doing with its provocations against China with the so-called pivot. You know, so we should be concerned.
The insanity of what NATO is doing and what the U.S. is doing, it's provoking another Cold War. It could lead to an accidental nuclear war.
Joe Jameson is with the Queen's Peace Council.
And we got to stop it. And the thing is, we have to educate even the anti-war movement in the U.S., which is very fragmented, needs more education about how dangerous NATO is. We're good about focusing on particular wars, Syria or Iraq or whatever, but NATO's a little bit more abstract. But the U.S. pays the bills for NATO. We should think of U.S. and NATO as a unity. They're not two different things. NATO is not something that happens in Europe. It happens in the Pentagon. So that's what we got to be aware of. And that's actually part of the education process.
And Sally Jones from Peace Action agrees that in the anti-war movement, there needs to be a lot of education about NATO.
Because it's one of these sort of shadow organizations. Everybody knows the word, but they really don't know the role that's being played and the aggression that is taking place with the increased military spending in Europe. On U.S. is quadrupling its military expenditures to $3.4 billion in Europe. This is this really doesn't make sense. I mean, this is more, there's a bigger military activity since the end of the Cold War. Are we trying to start a hot war or a cold war? I mean, we really should not be antagonizing with military means. There's so many other ways we need to cooperate in order to get rid of our nuclear arsenal, number one.
Down with NATO, simple as that. No more imperialism, no more mindless killing, none of this. It's not right. What makes them have the right to take another human being's life?
Standing outside the Army Recruitment Center this weekend, Alfred Martyr, who is president of the U.S. Peace Council, said activists have made history.
This is not just a rally of a few on Times Square. We've come together representing the peace movement of our country. We've come together representing the interests of our people, our sons and daughters. We have to leave here, however, realizing our responsibility. We cannot disunite the peace movement. We have to reject those who are claiming that we are Putin supporters and using the argument of the State Department. We are opposed to two nuclear powers facing each other with the threat of destroying entire humanity. And that's what's happening. And that policy is a U.S. foreign policy engendered by NATO. Please, this does not reflect our country, 330 million strong.
Martyr says the peace movement is the conscience of our country with deep responsibilities. He says the peace movement represents a number of organizations which has had difficulty coming together over the years. But now, facing the threat of a nuclear war, the peace movement can overcome differences. He urges activists to go back to their organizations to campaign to dissolve NATO. Linda Perry, WBAI News, New York.